answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The DOJ and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence announcing that they are working together to review the classifications of the documents recovered in that search. So what will they be looking for?
So, Frederica, this is exactly what we would expect to see from the DNI's office and also from DOJ, and particularly the FBI involved. This is an essential part of any investigation in which there's an allegation that highly classified materials have been stored or held in a place they're not supposed to be. It's an essential part of that, but it's separate from the effort to investigate a case and bring a prosecution. The purpose of this review is simply to understand the worst case scenario. What could happen? What technologies, what human sources, what capabilities, what intelligence collection access points might be lost now if we assume that these documents ended up in the hands of our adversaries?
January 19, 2023. That is Andrew McCabe, former deputy director of the FBI under Obama and under Trump. He's talking about documents, classified documents, get in the hands of wrong people. Everything he said could be applied to Joe Biden right now. But he was talking in December 8, 2022, about the Mar-a-Lago documents that the FBI carried out a SWAT raid, basically, to go in and retrieve. And going through various closets, including Melania's clothing closet, maybe even her underwear drawer. We have no idea what they did because they're not sharing. But the FBI felt compelled that they had to go in and do that. They said that Trump had not complied completely with the subpoena. Now, you can argue that all day. Lawyers will. That's what they're paid to do, to argue for their client on either side. But when you listen to Andrew McCabe said, you've got to worry about who had access to these documents and how it might have damaged U.S. intel. There was supposed to be a full examination, an intelligence review, a damage assessment of the Trump documents. So far, no one has ever seen anything. Nothing. And, of course, now we have the Biden documents being found here, there, everywhere. Have you looked under your car? You might have some under your car. You never know. And, of course, the times are different. The politician involved is different. And, of course, they're going to make the difference even bigger and wider because as they sent FBI agents rushing into Mar-a-Lago, when Biden's attorney said, you know, we might be looking into his house, see if he's got any documents there by mistake. You want to send the FBI agents with us? Department just said, no, you go ahead. You go ahead. If you find anything, give us a call. And keep in mind, these attorneys were not cleared for reading any classified material. If they saw it written on there, I guess they were going to have to decide, okay, we can't do anything else. And then in the midst of all of this, you've got Senator Chris Van Hollen, Democrat of Maryland, says, you know, Trump did everything wrong, but Biden is, of course, doing everything right.
Again, the question is, what did they do when they discovered it? And they self-reported, and they did the right thing. I mean, when you look at what the former president did, it was the opposite. He didn't self-report. He took the documents. And the big issue legally has been, what did he do when the government asked for the documents back, for the unauthorized classified documents to come back? That's the question. In the Biden case, they decided to provide them themselves. In the case of former President Trump, he resisted all efforts to get them returned, including a subpoena. So that's why that case is where it is right now.
Yeah, but it's not exactly stated correctly. They do have a subpoena that he resisted, and he did turn over other documents. And if you want to throw something else into the mix, Congressman Jerry Carl, Republican of Alabama, is now speculating about all the timing of these Biden papers suddenly surfacing. The Alabama Republican is saying Biden's being set up by his own people. They want him to be found with all this stuff. Interesting concept. Interesting. Well, of course, today, as we had predicted yesterday, we were going to hit the federal deficit level. And we have. Here's Rick Newman, financial expert for Yahoo News.
We have hit the federal borrowing limit. So the federal government now cannot borrow any more money in total. It can issue new debt as old debt matures, but the total amount of borrowing cannot go above where it is right now. So if the Treasury Department were not able to basically move money around and come up with some extra cash to pay bills, that means that some of the bills some of the government's bills would simply go unpaid. And we will get to that point. But we've got, let's call it 4 to 5 months here where the Treasury can move money around. And assuming this does get resolved at the end and the borrowing limit goes up and there's no catastrophic consequences, then the Treasury will be able to replenish, kind of repair all these things. But, you know, for the meanwhile, for about 4 months, we're going to go through an exercise in madness, which is how close do we want to come to the U.S. government can't pay its bills?
Yeah, good question. And of course, there are compromises being offered already. Senator Manchin, Democrat, is offering some. Some Republicans are willing to, quote, compromise. And others are saying, no, we're going to hold the line on this. We're not going to increase the debt ceiling. We can reduce spending. In fact, for every dollar you want to increase it, we should reduce the deficit by $2 to $3. And Congressman McCarthy, now, of course, the House leader, said, I think it's arrogance to say we're not going to negotiate about anything, especially when it comes to funding. His remarks aimed primarily at the Democrats. He said, you got a Republican House, a Democrat Senate, the president, a Democrat. So when you say we're not going to negotiate anything, that's arrogance. If anyone had a child and their credit card kept hitting the limit, you'd want to change that child's behavior. He thinks it's high time we do, starting now. Coming up later, Al Gore on a rampage, I mean a full-blown rampage against the fossil fuel industry and you, if you support it. All of this done at the Davos World Economic Forum, which he flew into in his private jet. And also, before we wrap up, the U.S. is the most permissive society for child sex operations in the world. Shameful, dangerous to our kids. Lock and load, ready, on the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I have noticed a huge increase in the amount of passion and attention being paid by CEOs and other business leaders. It is for real. But as the Secretary General said in his brilliant speech earlier today, we are not winning. The crisis is still getting worse faster than we are deploying these solutions. And we need to make changes quickly. Emissions are still going up. All these promises of the last few years to cut emissions are still going up. When are we going to bring these emissions down?
There is Al Gore, former vice president, failed candidate for presidency, and of course, the author and creator of the movie and the book and everything that goes with it, An Inconvenient Truth, talking about how our world is being destroyed by fossil fuels and wanting to get rid of all of it. He was speaking in Davos, Switzerland, at the World Economic Forum. Do you want to guess how he got there? He did not take a dog sled. He didn't take even a boat to get to Switzerland from the U.S. of A. He went in his private personal jet, which spins and spews a lot of emissions. But he has to do that to do the job he needs to be doing for the world. As John Kerry also says, the energy czar for the White House. But Gore is talking about we have had so much passion, we see some things, but we're still failing. We need to do more. Even points out at one point about the, quote, arrest of Greta Thunberg the other day, the young woman that they've suddenly lifted to a status above Joan of Arc, basically. Talk about how she is bravely fighting against fossil fuels and fighting for the climate and our world environment. Let me make something clear to you. I have grandchildren, and at some point they're going to have children. And I want the world safe for them and to be around. I do. And same thing with the various animals we have now. I don't want them to become extinct. But we forget, as mere mortals, we're looking at the world in just such a tiny fragment of time. The analogy I often use is you take a yardstick and you put a sesame seed at the end of the yardstick. That sesame seed, where it rests on the yardstick, represents all of mankind, all of mankind, back to the first ones being identified. And everything before that is whatever existed before we knew anything. Have we shut down some emissions and controlled some that we need to? Yes, we don't need smog-filled cities anymore, and you don't see them in the U.S. of A., but you go into some of these other countries that supposedly say they're all on board for controlling this, China and Russia, and Britain, by the way, had said it would shut its coal mines so it would no longer be burning coal, but now they've opened them up again because they need fuel for the winter. Thank God it hasn't been that harsh for winter yet, but since the Russians invaded Ukraine and we put pressure on any Russian fuels going into that part of the world, into Western Europe, they've had to go to the coal mines again. It's called survival. You can look at the big picture of what you want the world to be, but you got to look at where you are here at this point. And that is something these green pie in the sky people just won't do. Al Gore even used an analogy talking about we've seen these pictures taken from space by either space satellite or our own astronauts from the Hubble Space Station taking pictures of the Earth, and you see a particular blue line. He explains what that is.
People are familiar with that thin blue line that the astronauts bring back in their pictures from space. That's the part of the atmosphere that has oxygen, the troposphere, and it's only 5 to 7 kilometers thick. That's what we're using as an open sewer. If you could drive a car straight up in the air at interstate highway speeds, you'd get to the top of that blue line in 5 minutes. And all the greenhouse gas pollution would be below you. We're still putting 162 million tons into it every single day.
I don't know if his analogy is accurate, that at highway speed you'd go through it in, what did he say, 5 minutes? I don't know if that's true. But it's a pretty vivid picture. And he says we've got all this stuff that's going to destroy. I mean, it's just evident. And then he gets to the part where he talks about, because we are not taking action fast enough. In other words, we're not putting electric cars out. Don't even bother asking about, well, how are you going to Find the minerals to put those electric car batteries together, and then if it's going to run on electric, where and how are you going to produce the electricity? We're not there yet. We don't have hydrogen-powered cars. We don't have other sources. We have some nuclear power plants, but they're not going to be adequate to meet the power grid needs if everyone had an electric car. If everyone had an electric car, then you got to look at the trucks that move all of our cargo, and you got to look at the boats, and then what are you going to do about airplanes? You want to fly in an electric airplane? I'd rather not. And I'll bet Al Gore wouldn't either. But the first time they build one, I'd like for him to go up in it. I don't wish him harm. But in you listen to this guy, he speaks doom and gloom like it's Armageddon every day that we continue to resist anything to destroy fossil fuels.
The accumulated amount is now trapping as much extra heat as would be released by 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every single day on the Earth. That's what's boiling the oceans, creating these atmospheric rivers and the rain bombs and sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the droughts and melting the ice and raising the sea level and causing these waves of climate refugees predicted to reach 1 billion in this century. Look at the xenophobia and political authoritarianism trends that have come from just a few million refugees. What about a billion? We would lose our capacity for self-governance on this world. We have to act.
We have to act. Now, when he says we'd lose our ability for self-government, I don't think the dictators of various countries would care about that. They wouldn't care that you lose your ability to govern. And all these refugees, they're not all related to the issue of climate change. And in fact, if you look at what climate change has forced upon Sri Lanka, basically shutting down their nitrogen fertilizer, they have no food. They're starving, except for whatever they can find in other ways. I mean, they're forcing them into that situation. And it's happening right now. It's not the future. It's not something that someone says will happen if we don't do this now. It is happening now. The problem with these green pie in the sky ideas, I'll admit it would be great if we had an energy system that was always available, didn't cost a lot, and it would just be basically self-sufficient. You wouldn't have to do anything. Well, Larry, you must be talking about the sun and the wind, because that's solar power and wind power that's there. Yeah, but we, again, don't have the ability to use that effectively. The solar panels that are spread all across various states, their life expectancy is maybe, let's say, top 20 years. Then you got to get rid of them. Where are you going to put all those things, much less manufacture them? And the wind mill turbines and so forth, we already know that those blades and those windmills may not last more than 7 to 9 years, in addition to killing a lot of birds along the way. There's often an offset for what you want to have and what's realistic. I'd like everybody to be at peace in the world. Realistically, it's not going to happen. I'd like Putin to decide. Angels come to him in his dreams and say, do you remember what happened to Pharaoh when he refused to let God's people, the chosen Jews, leave? Do you remember all the plagues that hit? Do you want that to hit your nation? Maybe it'd waken him and say, you know, I'm making the wrong decision here. I need to reverse everything. And maybe Premier Xi. I'd like to think that. But it's probably not going to happen. But Gore insists we have to act, and we got to do it right this very second.
What do I say to these young activists that I train around the world when they come to me and they say, are you okay with putting the CEO of one of the largest oil companies in the world in as the president of the COP? Is that really okay? Well, it's not whether he's a nice guy or not, or whether he's intelligent. The appearance of a conflict of interest undermines confidence at a time when climate activists around the world, and I'm partly speaking for them right here on this stage, have come to the conclusion that the people in authority are not doing their job. There's a lot of blah, 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 as Greta says. There are a lot of words and there are some meaningful commitments, but we are still failing badly. We need to have a supermajority process instead of unanimity in the COP. We cannot let the oil companies and gas companies and petrostates tell us what is permissible.
No, we'll just let you tell us what is permissible. And again, he brought up Greta. You know, the so-called arrest of her the other day was fake, staged. You're looking like she was on a glamour shoot or something. She was detained briefly. She wasn't even really, quote, arrested, but they wanted to capture that and show that she's out there fighting for the environment to the point where she's going to get arrested. Al Gore's made it very clear the enemy is you who want to use and rely upon fossil fuels, and you don't want to have to go buy electric cars, and you won't accept the fact that these fossil fuels are going to destroy the world.
Every piece of pro-climate legislation at the national level, the regional level, the local level, municipal level, the oil and gas industry and the coal industry, they come in and fight it tooth and nail. And they use their legacy network of political influence and wealth to stop progress. The rest of us have to reform these international institutions so that the people of this world, and including the young people of this world, can say, we are now in charge of our own destiny. We're going to stop using the sky as an open sewer. We're going to save the future and give people hope. We can do it. And remember that political will is itself a renewable resource.
Yay, 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 yay. And John Kerry, by the way, John Kerry adding points later saying, being a good citizen on climate will lead to more expensive goods. So you can be a good citizen for climate, but you're going to have to spend more money. Isn't this sound like just a perfect world is plotted by Gore and Kerry and others? It's hard to find a car you like, but here's an easier way. AckermanToyota.com. In a flash, you're going to see new and pre-owned. You can quickly select which model you want, price, colors, options, get details on financing, lifetime oil changes, lifetime engine warranty. Just click AckermanToyota.com. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. There is a great story about how John Beal Roofing got started. I encourage you to read it at their website, johnbealroofing.com. That 1947 story leads to three generations of the Beal family repairing, replacing roofs on homes and businesses. Read the story at johnbealroofing.com. And when you need roofing help, support my sponsor, John Beal. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, we know that Hunter Biden has had associations with Chinese communists. We still don't know exactly what Joe Biden has gotten out of it. But there are a lot of questions that still remain. And in fact, on one background check application dated July 2018, Hunter Biden claimed he paid $49,910 per month in rent. At the time, according to the document, he was also living in the house where Joe Biden had stored the classified documents. That was his primary residence, or at least one form of identification, the Delaware driver's license, and the same address as his billing address for both his personal credit card and Apple account. So he claimed that he was paying rent from March 2017 till Feb 2018, 11 months, $49,000 plus a month. Is that the 10% that he had indicated would be going to the big guy? in some of the deal making he was putting together with partner Bob Alinsky, who came forward and testified to that effect. You have to keep in mind here, these files that have been uncovered, we don't really know what's in them. We've been told generally in the first instance that they involve papers involving Iran and Iraq. We don't know about the others. And when Joe Biden made his first press conference talking about the files, admitting that, they found the files and it was a mistake or something of that nature. See, I mean, when Trump did it, it had to be a nefarious scandal. Trump is just, Biden's just an oversight. Bottom line is, the special prosecutor is supposed to find out if there was mishandling. Bingo. You just admitted to mishandling. Period. But then, since Hunter Biden had access to the house and the garage, where Biden was quick to point out, hey, that thing is locked. I have my prized Corvette in there, my Stingray. Well, we know Hunter Biden had keys to the garage as well, because there are pictures of him now that he's been driving around in Daddy's Corvette for a while. So the box of files that had the classified materials in them are in the same garage. Apparently not under separate lock and key. The problem is, when Biden was president, when he was vice president and living at the house at that point, we have no records of who came and went. Secret Service said it's a private residence, so we don't really keep tabs on them. We don't have them sign in and sign out, even though it's a vice president. And, of course, when Hunter was living there, we certainly have no records of who came and went. And we have no idea who went into the garage, saw the files, maybe took a few with them. Maybe what was found were those that were no value to the person looking anyway. We don't know that Hunter Biden didn't take the whole box of files into the living room at the house and go through them with the friend sitting beside him and maybe taking pictures. We have no way of knowing, do we? So that's why we need to get some answers to some of these questions. And even Democrats should want to know the answers to them. And, of course, as I'd mentioned at the beginning, we have an Alabama congressman, Republican, saying, you know, it's possibly the Biden's own people, or at least the Democrats, are setting him up. They decided not to release all this before the midterm, but now as we get closer to 2024, they think we better shoot him down now, so let's get this out there. We do know that Hunter was getting all kinds of monies and things of that nature from the communists. On his own laptop, there was a picture of a 3.16 carat diamond that was given to him. But we don't know where it is now, apparently. Nobody's bothered to explain that. And 9 days after a meeting that Hunter had with some of his cohorts among the communist Chinese, he got two separate transfers of $3 million. $3 million. You do know that on your own bank account, if you suddenly drop $10,000 plus into that account, it puts up a red flag. Where did this money come from? Are you drug cartel money? Are you laundering money? So he had two separate wire transfers of $3 million. The Department of Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network did flag as suspicious, as had the banks. That's their duty to do so. We have not heard anything about those since. We know that James Biden, Joe's brother, was central to the Biden business dealing with Bob Alinsky and others. And we know his younger brother has also said, hey, I've got a bully puppet here. I can make things happen for you guys. As he was getting paid to appear at different functions for a private enterprise. All of these questions. And if you were looking for a crime, it's right in front of your face. But the Democrats were so busy and concerned and focused on January 6th, doing what they could to destroy Donald Trump and his future, they saw no scandal around Joe Biden, no question whatsoever. And of course, they're quick to point out there is nothing that ties Hunter Biden and any money directly to Joe Biden. That is true. That is true. It is also true that there is nothing that ties Donald Trump direct to January 6th. But let's let that one slide again. It's a different politician, a different party. And speaking about Trump, if they're worried about him running in 2024 and they think they've got to destroy him now, there's a piece from Politico that says Republicans are warning not to write off former President Trump's 2024 presidential bid, that he's still the presumptive front runner, despite signs that some of the GOP are ready to move in. It points out that strategists and others have been sounding the death knell for Trump's political career because the midterm elections didn't go that strong. And of course, you still got January 6th. That's going to be shouted from the rooftops forever. It will outlive the cockroach. And then, of course, they're also saying it's too early to discount former potential rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and the strength he has. And when it comes to Trump himself, even though he's got some events planned, several Republicans are describing his 2024 presidential campaign so far as anemic, uninspired. He said, if you're running for president, as one veteran strategist said, if you're running for president, you do your announcement, you go to Iowa, you have a rally, you go to New Hampshire. It just doesn't seem to me like he's planned it out. He hasn't done any of that yet. So whether or not he runs is yet to be seen. And then if he runs, will it work for him? A Morning Consult poll released showing the former president running ahead of DeSantis by a 17-point margin. In a hypothetical field that also includes former Vice President Pence, former Congresswoman Cheney, and former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley. But that poll released just 2 days ago showing Trump ahead of DeSantis by 17 points. You can book money on it, or you can say, think I'll keep my powder dry.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town & Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is a disturbing story. It should haunt you. It does me. There's a group called Do No Harm. Of course, that's kind of connected in a way to the oath of any medical professional. First, do no harm when treating your patients. This study by Do No Harm found that the U.S., our nation, is the most permissive country for child sex change operations and gender transition drug treatments. The U.S. is the most permissive compared to any other European country. They say only France comes close, but, quote, unlike the U.S., France medical authorities have recognized the uncertainties involved in transgender medical care for children and have urged great caution in its use. The study comparing European and American laws regarding all of this, and including not just treating and dealing with gender identity, but gender-affirming care, they found that children in America have much greater access to puberty blockers, hormone regimens, sex change surgeries than European children. The state of California has made very clear. Wherever you live, if you want to have your sex change and your parents won't help you out, if you can get to California, we'll do it for you without notifying your parents. This same report points out that most European countries do not allow persons to even start the process to the age of 18 or at least have parental consent. We will fight against these woke predators on this program each and every day. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.